Hello, this is Neil Sheff.
And hi, I'm Katie Holmes, and this is the Don't Do That, Do This podcast, brought to you bringing inspiring stories from the Middle East to help you in your business exploration and development.
Please share and subscribe the podcast. Today, we've got a great guest. It's Umar Butt, an inspiring entrepreneur and seasoned finance professional. Umar is the founder of Direct Debit Systems and responsible for bringing direct debit to the UAE. A very, very big idea and a huge conversation.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube and find us on all the official podcast channels. The competition is growing, so we need to make sure that we're up there in your searches. So please follow and subscribe.
This podcast wouldn't have been possible without the following teams. Rightfully for Storytelling and Thought Leadership. Studio Red for the quality podcast studio and video production. And Sherbet Lemon for branding, social media design and editing. Umar Butt, so excited to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you.
And we start with this podcast with a very light question. And today, you're the reason.
Yeah, but you've saved me 20 dirhams in biscuits this time.
True. So you've actually forced us to change our question from what's your favorite biscuit? Because apparently you don't like biscuits.
No.
So that's maybe a separate conversation.
It isn't.
But what's your favorite ice cream?
I can't believe it. We've spoken earlier. I don't even like ice creams either.
Okay. Podcast fail. Yeah. Right?
No, but yes, ice cream sometimes, but very rarely, only if we are going to a big mall and then on Baskin Robbins, whatever latest flavors is. I have tried all their flavors that are available, but yes, I always take the smaller scoop available.
Okay. And, very disciplined.
Yeah, very disciplined, yes. I try not to have a carbohydrate-based lifestyle.
Okay, the healthy podcast. Yeah. So, okay, let's get into it. So before we go into what we're talking about today, which is around the direct debit system, your company and this big idea, big vision, changing major, major behaviors in this region in particular, tell us about your first business back in 2009, 2010.
Yes. So basically I was a frequent visitor to Dubai prior to 2009. And what I figured out was that there was no insurance comparison site. In UK, we had confused.com and moneysupermarket.com. So I thought, you know, I like Dubai. Why don't I try this insurance aggregator site? So that was the idea I came with. And in 2009, I started it with Sheikh Zayed Road office and all the other nice things without realizing the importance of having a local network. So, unfortunately, that business couldn't run. There was a financial crisis at that time. Many reasons why you look at the first for knowing people. And hence, in 2010, I became member of BCCD.
Thank you.
Now and BBG then. And I realized that was a mistake I made. So after that, then
joining the membership?
Yeah, just for clarity, the mistake wasn't joining. Not joining earlier.
Not joining earlier, yes. I should have done it in the first month I landed.
Have left it there. Yeah.
I should have joined it right away or probably even before coming in.
Yes.
I would always say to those who want to come in, join BCCD. I'm sorry, I'm still very used to BBG.
Right on brand. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so they always join this kind of network first before you start doing your business. You need people. You can't just come in and say that, you know, you would do Google ads or other ads and your business would flourish. It's not going to happen.
Mm. And from that learning, you then launched what you're doing now. So tell us.
No, there was still a gap. Mm-hmm. So in 2010, I was about to go back to UK to my old job. Everything was sorted out. So just 3 days before my flight, I was calling everybody to say goodbyes. And one of the insurance companies was on my aggregator site, and the CEO was very good. We became good friends, Mr. Bassam Jilmaran, Al Watfa National Insurance. So I called him up and, you know, I said, look, well, I'm going, and it was nice working with you. I'm sorry it couldn't work out. It just needed so much cash and I couldn't sort of balance it out. And he said, why are you going back? And I said, you know, well, because now I need money. I have family. And he said, no, come and see me. So he was in Abu Dhabi. So I drove off. I was in Dubai, drove off there. He offered me the job. He said, just stay with me. We have this old website and you are good with, you know, transformation and changing things. Put as much as online as you can and just report to me. So that's how I stayed on. And so I started this business in starting developing it in 2015, system development, and it continued till 2017. So 2017 is when I resigned and actually started this business.
Funny, that's the year I started as well.
2017.
I think that's a thing about that year. Take us back, before we go into the new business, take us back to pre-starting this confused.com type business in the UAE. What were you doing earlier in 2000s?
I was accountant, basically.
Yeah.
It towards the end, like after 2007, I started working as an independent consultant for BDO Stoy Hayward and Buzzacott, the top four companies in city. And so the idea came about because we were, the bank would send us where the lent has gone wrong to restructure the company. And I went into one of the electronics companies who were advertising on an aggregator site. So I had very close interaction with them. I understood their model, how they worked. And it got me really excited that this is a really good model. But again, you know, I should have studied more about UAE before just sort of jumping on a plane with family and saying, I'll just replicate it here.
Mm.
So that that's basically, it came back from that angle that I had some exposure to confused.com type of aggregators back in UK.
And at what point, so you were involved in the direct debit system implementation back in the UK?
In very early days.
Yeah, yes. At what point was that, and what were you actually doing?
Well, it was in 2001 and 2002, I got a job with a buying house in UK, London, where there was one. So now I'm trying not to be very technical here. So we had a system, accounting system, which everybody understands and uses. At that time, we had Barclays Bank, who was providing direct debit with that service. So I was doing direct debit, and it used to fascinate me because I used to hate gyro system. If you're young people, but gyro was a thing, big thing in UK. It used to be the cash you used to go with, cash and coins on the tilt on the bank, and you would pay with gyro. So that was a transforming, direct debit was transformative at that point. We then what triggered all of this learning was our boss started another company. It was a mobile e-top-up that was very popular in UK at that time, and that company had to be 100% on direct debit because margins were so low. So now I have same accounting system, but that bank was NatWest Bank. And I started struggling because these two banks have different portals in front of me, whereas my source report is one. And it was weekly cycles, and it used to really bother me. So what I did was, at that time, there was still the time of letters, I started writing lots of letters to Barclays and NatWest.
Mm-hmm.
I took the address from my boss, who should I write? Barclays did not respond, but a lady from NatWest, she got really fed up. And she basically said in the nicest terms to, you know, I am really fed up of your letters. I don't understand what you're talking about. This is a system which banks gave us to give to the businesses. And I have now given the whole file of your letters to people in BACS, and they want to see you. So could you stop writing me? And this is where, I think it was in Hayton Garden somewhere, they used to have office there. So anyway, she sent me there, and there I went. There were like five or six people, a couple of them from Bank of England. And they said, okay, you have 10 minutes. What's your problem? These were BACS people who were policy decision makers. So I said to them that, you know, whatever you guys are doing, you're not doing it from my perspective. I'm just an accountant in a company. Yeah, and I am growing, and you are not designing your systems as per my requirement. This is my life, and this is what you're giving me. When I say to them, this is my fields which I need, they tell me, the bank comes back and say, look, we have this watch for you where you enter the card and you do a challenge and it's secure. This is not my problem, how secure this or how fancy this is. It's not solving my problem. Anyway, one of the guys said, okay, you take permission from your boss. You are now sitting in one of our consultative boards.
Wow.
And you're going to tell us what the hell you want and why you're writing so many letters to us. So it was then on, then I started contributing from, I still had to get permission. I was only an accountant from boss to go every week. So I would prepare over the weekend, I would prepare my notes, how the system should be from the accountant's perspective, write scenarios. And I would just sort of tell them, they wouldn't give me feedback, okay, whether we would accept your assertions or not. But they would say, okay, we would, fine, go away, give your presentation and go. Mm. It went on for some time. And in 2003, Baxtel IP was launched. So that was actually the turning point for UK. UK didn't have 97% adoption of direct debit prior to Baxtel IP. So after that, there was no sort of turning back. Our problem was solved, and businesses took direct debit on left, right, and center.
Yep.
And that's where my basically original first interaction with direct debit was.
Gosh, already, just a bit of a nod to old-fashioned communication. So your telephone call conversation that you had kept you in Dubai, but previous to that, letter writing got you to, you know, the great kind of golden thread that's led you to this point now.
Yes, in Katie, the thing is that, look, if you truly believe in something,
yes,
then it could be anything. It could be letters, it could be a call, it could be fate as well.
Mm.
But to come to the fate, you must have a very strong will.
Yeah.
And determination and grit to do that.
And I would definitely, I mean, you know, you've already said about you being a member for so long. I've interacted with you since for the last 5 years, but you always come across as quite the kind of activist. You know, you want to, you're going to challenge the norm, but always, and you've already suggested that looking at it from the end user's perspective. So looking at current day now with, you know, direct debits, with market share, what's the benefit to a typical owner-managed business here in Dubai taking up the direct debits as a process for their payments?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, we do know the inflation has hit everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking to cut their cost. So direct debit is definitely a reduction in your collection of payments. And there is a reason why it is. It's because you use local infrastructure. So when you accept, for example, credit cards, I'll come to the checks in a minute, you go through an infrastructure called SWIFT. So when you use that SWIFT, you pay 1% to 3% of the transaction charge. Now, if you're a small business where your average recurring payment is 100 dirham or 200 dirham, then it's fine, it makes sense. But if it's 10,000 dirham, like school fee or like a rent check, then it mounts up to a lot of money. So that's first benefit. Direct debit does not work with percentages. It's a fixed fee per transaction. And the second is the check processing. So check processing has huge problems. One is, on average, it costs 45 dirham for a business to just process a check.
Yeah.
I am excluding the warehousing. So warehousing is always added on. Yes, it's free for big companies, but if you're a small company and you warehouse your post-dated checks, the cost could be anything. So, you know, on average, if you're a small business, in your example, you would be paying about 80 dirham to 90 dirham to process that one check.
Yeah.
And then taking it to the bank. And
exactly,
that is
the parking fine.
Parking fines and parking fees.
Yeah.
That's excluded from this calculation.
Yeah.
So direct debit is, it's paperless. It's based on UAE pass. It's central bank backed. And it's all about trust. Direct debit is about trust.
Mm-hmm.
And who could be more trustworthy than the central bank of the country? So if it is backed by the central bank, it has certain regulation around it.
Mm.
It's all available on various websites. You can go on our website. I understand in UK mature markets, it's your rights are basically very well known, but those rights are available here as well.
Mm.
It's just people need to know how to practice, how to sort of use them. If they think that something wrong has been done to against their rights.
So from an adoption perspective, do you see any challenges for, we're all using Apple Pay. I know it's not obviously exactly the same thing, but from a concept of fast payments,
yes.
What do you predict will be the ultimate adoption rate here? Because you said 97% in the UK.
Yeah.
Where do you think it would get to here?
I think it won't reach to 97% in next year or but what will happen is in 3 years, the way we are going, I can extrapolate from the little data we have. In 3 years, you shouldn't see significant number of checks in the economy. And you would see a few things which would come in the press. They would sort of affirm what I'm trying to say. I have some basis to make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
The other point you made about Google Pay or Apple Pay, look, these are push payment mechanisms. Direct debit is a pull payment mechanism.
Okay.
So that is merchant-driven, landlord-driven, school-driven.
Mm-hmm.
The payment, when you pay by Google Pay or your card, you're basically doing a push payment. You're going and willingly paying. But the direct debit payments are contractual payments, effectively. So like your rental payment is your contractual payment. School payment is contractual payment. Gym fee is contractual payment. Mm. Any other business rent you're paying, these are all contractual payments. And these are very small percentage of payment, literally 8% of the overall world of payments are pull payments, pull-based market. It's very small, admittedly. That's why all the fintechs you would see, they would go towards the 92% because that's where the transaction volume is.
Mm.
Nevertheless, this is also a very important area, the pull payment system, and that's where we are in that 8% sort of area.
Although from a behavior perspective, so many of us are subscribing to apps, you know, on very, very low level, but that surely that's, you know, if the process is already in place of people to adopt direct debit, no?
Yes, it's very simple if you want to. The problem with that is at this point, at that right, like when we're having this podcast, is that you cannot just as a payer, let's say you're renting an apartment and you want to pay by direct debit 12 payments. You can't just download our app and say, okay, I'm going to start paying. We need to know your landlord.
Right.
We need to know his KYC and what's his AML position, etc. And then we would sponsor your landlord with central bank, give him a OIC number, originator identification code. Then that still it doesn't finish. That landlord has to then agree with you, Katie, that, okay, I'm allowing you to pay 12 payments. Then he makes an offer. That's when you have 7 days to either accept it or reject it. So if you would accept it, then whether you use your credit card or your IBAN, it's free for you. But obviously your landlord would have to pay something. Somebody has to pay something.
Yeah, it's not going to happen quickly, is it? It's tough enough on those negotiations.
Yeah. Yeah, what about, I was just thinking, so we have a web app where we take Stripe recurring fees.
Yeah.
Would the implementation of direct debit system replace that? or could it replace it?
It can replace that.
Yeah.
The Stripe is very good. They have created this hybrid model where it looked like it's a pull-based system on the credit card. It's an excellent way of, but it's still hybrid. It's difference between us and Stripe are two major differences. I won't go. There are many differences. Mm. They're an excellent company.
Mm.
One is that they charge merchant a percentage, 1% to 3%, whatever that is. It's a percentage they charge. We charge a fixed fee. That's one difference. Secondly, a merchant cannot take a failed Stripe or these payments to the court of law in UAE to say that I want to start a civil case, because Stripe systems are not decreed system, whereas direct debit and check are what you call them decretal systems.
Yeah.
There is a royal decree behind these payment systems.
Mm.
So therefore, if you would fail a direct debit, your merchant, the landlord, would take a digital copy from our system and it would give it to the PRO and say, I am now hopeless.
Got it.
Go ahead and start a legal case. So with our entity number, the judicial system would accept, okay, this is basically a legitimate payment instrument and a case should be filed. That is something you can't have with other systems.
Mm.
You can only have it with either checks or direct debits.
With cybercrime being on everyone's minds, small to medium to large companies, it seems to be, you know, there's a lot of focus on that.
Yes.
With all the data that you would be holding even now and in the future, what provision do you have for preventing what must be, you know, people are desperate to get to that information.
Yes.
So what lengths could they go to? How are you preventing it?
Well, just like they can go to any length, we have gone to the maximum length available to us. If you see our app, there is no data that we hold ourselves. We use UAPass for the login. So each time you use your own Emirates ID data to log in, and it routes through UAPass. That's one. Secondly, we hosted our data with Smart Dubai Government's hosting platform. And I went to them in 2019 and I said, I am building something which is going to be very important, not just for the city of Dubai, but also for UAE. And there was a very kind CEO at that time. He's moved to another department now, much senior. And His Excellency wrote a special permission letter for me to give it to the other hosting sort of platform. So they gave us a private cloud in a government hosting provider. So we are the only private entity, very proud.
Yeah.
That makes us desk compliant, Dubai Electronic Security Certification.
I think that's as good as it gets.
As good. So if you're happy with your Emirates ID data, you should be absolutely happy with us, because we are under the same conditions where your Dubai Police, KHDA, and your Emirates ID data, at the same place, same conditions we hold. And that's why a central bank also ticked us. So, our systems are directly integrated with central bank.
Mm.
So that's why we ticked very quickly all those cybersecurity, data security.
Yeah.
There is actually a Data Protection Act, which was amazing. It came out end of 2022. And we were tested again, second time, when this Data Protection Act came out. Consumer Data Protection Act of 2022. And we still ticked all the boxes. And that's only because we were in a government-provided private facility.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was easier for us to...
Yeah. So this is like such an impressive business. And it's a wonderful story of how you were annoyed back in early 2000s, sending out letters to then... There was something inside of you that pushed you to try and enable and implement this improved process in the UK. And here we are 15 years on.
Yeah.
Or more. to talk, well, when you launched this 15 years on, to then actually implementing direct debit systems within the UAE. So you know, just take us through that journey. Sure. Where, you know, earlier in 2009, 2010, you said, actually, I didn't build a network. And yeah. So there's the challenge of A, building a network, getting to know the right people. This is such a big idea. It's not your traditional business where, hey, I need to create a product and I need to get in front of new customers. Boom. This is actually, I need to bring in big influential people and bring them and start building consensus from day one, right? Something it's so take us through that journey. How have you done that?
Sure. Well, the thing is, direct debit was always on the back of my head. So when I started my job, then I became a salaried person. And I had two school-going kids. So that meant that on every September, so the rent check would be full, starting from January, and the school would be three. And so in September, because of the uniform and books, the school kids' check would always be huge.
Mm.
And literally just a week apart, the rent check would also be going. So one big school check and the rent check going in the same month. The salary, I won't disclose it, but it would just disappear.
Yeah.
So then what would I would left it? I'm talking now 2011. That story started from there.
Yeah.
And we would then be left with credit cards to live off the, you know, car for, go and swipe the card here and there for everything. And then next month, again, we would try to balance it out, but it won't balance. And I used to always think that if I am an accountant and I can't manage, then what about average people who, you know, who are not accountants, and how would they manage with this imbalance of their incoming and their outgoing? And these two expenses are the largest expenses in UAE, you know, the school fee and rent. So that got me really frustrated. So in 2012, finally, an announcement came out in the press that Central Bank has now given direct debit system to UAE, and it's live. And so I was very happy and excited. Like, finally, you know, from UK those days, I said, okay, these guys are also going to now do something about it. But 3 years went by and nothing really happened. And Katie, you would know Vince Cook.
Yes.
I met him through BCCD platform. And it was one of the lunches in 2014, actually, when I asked him for some time.
He's the CEO of the National Bank of Fujairah.
National Bank of Fujairah, yes. And that's the bank we use for licensing ourselves with Central Bank.
Got it.
So I asked him about this direct debit system. I said, this is 2 years, and why is nobody using it? And he said he had no idea you know, what is this system, but he would put me in touch with his people who are basically dealing with this Central Bank. So I said, that will be very kind. I just want to have a meeting and with them and understand why, you know, it's not coming up. I'm paying rent and I'm paying school fee, and these guys have no clue what direct debit is. So when I met with his people, that's when I figured out they are doing exactly the same thing which was happening in 2000 in UK. These banks have no clue, you know, how to do direct debit. They are pushing, each one has their own idea, and they want to just push it on to their merchants and people, not realizing at all that accountant sitting on the other side. So I was basically asking that those questions with me sitting as accountant opposite to them.
So, and this is like a deja vu moment.
Yes,
basically.
It was. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. It was. And the when they were explaining, oh, this is how it we would do, this is, I did ask actually two more of bankers as well. One was from, I shouldn't take the name, but the conclusion was exactly the same. It was, they were doing what NatWest and Barclays were doing in 2000, and it was, they were not going anywhere. So then I decided there is a different way of doing it. There's a proper way of doing it, but I'm not going to now give it away for free. Why shouldn't I do it? So I again draw up a plan, and I went to Vince again. I said to Vince that, look, this is what I've done in UK. You guys, your fraternity is again just stuck, you know, at this sort of, you know, carved in stone way, and it's not going to make life easier for people in this country, because that's not how direct debit works in UAE or anywhere in the world.
Hmm.
So he was very kind. He said, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I want to start building the system, but I need just basic information. And he said, okay, go ahead. You know, I will allow you to have documentation.
Hmm.
So he very kindly let me have documentation after signing few NDAs his guys signed as a customer. And I moved from Dubai to Ajman because rent was a quarter there, and I hired five people overseas to develop the system. I had to move my school for my kids as well. The fee was high. So the next 2 to 3 years, I literally was living off in 20% of my incoming salary, and 80% of it was going to develop this system.
So you're still working at this point?
Yeah, I'm still working.
So you're,
I'm still doing day job, but believe it or not, a guy living in somewhere in Ajman corner actually has five people working for him.
Mm.
And it was, if you would have seen me, you wouldn't believe that this could happen, but it did happen. So I moved to Ajman. It gave me a good sort of financial space to start developing the system. So the system in 2.5 years, system was fully matured, developed. And then I decided that, okay, this is now time to jump. So with that system, I started the company, and we landed. Our first account was Estico Property. Estico was the largest, and it was British management. So it was very easy to sell direct debit to them.
Mm.
And then second was Isa Salil Gurk. They are also a local group. And when I was in Estico, Estico's chairman, who I didn't know at that time, I was talking to her managing director, Elaine Jones. She, at the end of the project, she said that she wanted to sort of, you know, join me. And if she would join me, what would I would rather do? So I said to her that I want to become bank agnostic.
Mm.
And I want to become a BACS type of entity where I standardize the API and structure of direct debit so everybody could benefit from it. And I don't have financial capacity to do that. So she said, okay, fine, do it. So at that time, our posture was just an IT company. We were connecting these companies to their banks.
Hmm.
So we were giving them their Oracle system that we connecting it to their bank. So they were doing an automated process. And then we are connecting their Oracle to their peers. So these two products were our main sort of products. But problem was that these property management companies had a lot of landlords who had multiple loans from banks. Now, you might know the concept of assignment of receivable. I think Katie's husband would know.
All right.
What it basically is that you let's say you've taken a loan to build this building. The bank A, for example, has done this. Then the next building, bank B, has given you the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have started doing direct debit. But now obviously you want from both buildings to collect the money. But this bank B is not going to like it because the money would be collected into bank A. It doesn't matter in few seconds if it would be moved over to bank B. But bank B, assignment of receivable, would never allow this. So what this did was, this was hindering people to move away from checks to direct debit, because, you know, direct debit means you're only doing it with one bank. All the money is going into that one particular bank. That's basically triggered our next story of becoming a marketplace with central bank license.
So who is the biggest benefiter? With everything in place, who benefits the most out of a direct debit scheme?
I think the biggest benefactor would still be public, who would be able to pay their expenses monthly. That's my belief anyway, because I never believed, and again, it's not any socialist activism, but I never believed in these credit card deals and free cashbacks, and there is nothing free. that free cash back or the miles which you think you're earning, maybe your best friend is paying for them. Maybe your neighbor is paying for them with 34% interest. So I'm not a fan of these kind of gimmicks and these kind of things which makes few people winner but majority losers. It should be very simple. You're getting your incoming monthly. You should be able to pay your outgoing monthly, so you know your household budget. This is your incoming, this is your outgoing, this is what you can save, and that's it. So direct debit can help with that. So ultimately, people would not get into this fancy, this 12 months free, this, and well, just simply earn your money and then spend and then save. That's what's been happening for hundreds and thousands of years. It's happening this way. Our mothers and grandmothers didn't used to work, but I always saw that my father would give household money to my mother every month, and she would manage everything perfectly.
Mm.
There was never any debt. There was no credit card at that time,
yeah.
And everybody lived really happily. And I just think that it should be same here as well. There is no need for all this glittery cashback deals.
It's been from a responsibility perspective,
yeah.
And with the growth of Dubai, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a huge demographic in their 20s coming out here with, you know, the glitz and the glamour.
Yes.
Some of them without jobs. There is a nervousness around that. And I think what you're doing is an incredible, almost mentoring and helping them potentially avoid
just
being in financial difficulty. So
that's definitely, Katie. It's like if you keep it simple, what
yeah.
you earn is what you spend, then it's
cutting your cloth, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I'm not against debt. Debt is a modern day requirement. If you have to buy a house or
yeah.
you have to have a car, you need this. But these are asset backed sort of financing. You're buying an asset with it, which is useful for you. With these kind of offers, you know, this means you are spending that money which you don't have,
yeah.
and you're hoping that you will have at a future date. There is no need for that. You would rather just hold on to, you know,
yeah.
for a time being, and then spend when you actually would get it. And the second beneficiary, obviously, are the businesses. Their systems are now automated. No check processing, no expensive credit card percentages to pay. They can reduce the cost up to 80% of account receivable automation. But also with the tax coming, there is also a very important point. It makes your books more compliant with international accounting standards. And I'll give you an example. For example, if you would give post-dated checks or to school or your landlord, you would notice they would print out a receipt acknowledgement with zero balance on it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys noticed anybody? If you pay your post-dated checks, the receipt which you get has a zero outstanding balance. What that means is basically they are acknowledging that with the post-dated checks now you have fully paid, your ledger balance is zero in their books, and all the revenue is received. This is actually against an accounting standard. And one way or the other, it's going to be found out in future that this is a wrong practice. Revenue recognition, there are standards which must be followed for the tax purposes. So direct debit helps with that as well. You invoice, you very simply send the invoice that this will be paid in 15 days. You get your money in 15 days. That's basically is exactly as per the accounting standard.
And also from an ESG perspective, so from a company
yeah.
that's looking to decrease their carbon footprint,
yes,
direct debit seems an
yeah,
obvious one. We've
absolutely.
Already talked about, you know, the physical of the, you know, physicality of the paper
yes.
check, but to then take it to the bank, even just for your accounting team to be out of the office for that length of time. There's so many, like so many pros
yes.
to have this direct yeah. debit system in place.
Oh, yes. It's Katie, there's no question. It's basically is just how quickly
yeah.
this will change. And I have given myself 3 years to make that change where it's now meaningful and everybody is doing this. And the checks are, there would be some people who would never accept the change. They would be always be last ones. And there mm-hmm. would, there are other spectrum as well. Leaders, literally, they're just transformational sort of hawks or leaders. They just want, they see anything new and it makes sense to them. We don't even have to go to the second meeting with these guys. They just say, okay, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
But there's some people we talk for years. We've been talking to them and talking to them.
Mm.
But the skepticism just doesn't go away.
Mm.
So everybody would come
around. They'll catch on.
Yeah, they will catch on. It will catch on, but it would, it should happen now. Mm. Now is the time to basically bring about.
What do you need as a business owner and, you know, at the forefront of this quest? What do you need the most at this point?
At this moment, I need some big clients.
Yeah.
With a considerable size. What this would do is it would, people talk. So if let's say it's a client which has thousands of customers, they talk to each other. It automatically gets picked up in conversations. And once that happens, then people will start talking. I'll give you an example. We have very small data at the moment, but still we have highest number of merchants when compared to any bank. But the peers are still a very low number. It's still in thousands. But you would be surprised, there was one piece of data where we figured out that every 7 persons out of 10 are Westerners who have signed up for direct debit. I then called around our merchants to, you know, say whether there was disproportionate offers were made to Westerners or it was actually the opposite. The offers were more towards non-Westerners. But as soon as a Westerner would see the offer, they were accepting it. So the only conclusion I could draw from that data was this is because they've been using this system.
Yeah, and it worked.
There is a trust factor because back home they used it.
Yeah.
And when they came to this country, now they saw it. Mm. Oh, direct debit. And they were accepting it. So 72% of our existing people who are paying are actually Western expats.
I can distinctly remember when council tax back in the UK went to direct debit. Yeah. And it was such a relief because it was quite a chunk of change.
Yes, that's right.
But spread over that period of time.
Yeah.
So that's great. So you're going to have a swell of demand, especially with so many new UK Westerners coming to Dubai. There's an expectation and almost a shock that it's not in place.
Yeah.
So I suppose, the struggle is how to harness that demand to then create the need in those big clients.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's and that's basically, this podcast is also part of that, for the awareness of that. If you have any sort of skepticism or any questions, that we can answer those questions. But there is no reason now to still tie to that check system or even four-check system. And the idea that somehow it helps with your cash flow is also a myth. And your bounce rate would go down by 40% if you would allow a salaried person to pay monthly. So it's a huge relief, a huge saving on your administrative burden, on your company and on yourself.
It's also a huge relief on the person who's paying. I remember when I first came to Dubai.
Yeah.
I literally remember this moment. We moved from Airbnb to our first rental home, and then we were asked to give them 4 checks. I was like, 4 checks?
What
did you do checks? Like, I went back in time, as you were talking about, you know, your grandma and your mum.
Yeah.
And I went back in time. And in the UK, you don't even think about direct debit. It's not even a... I was just thinking about this actually just now. I'd never thought I would be sitting here in 2024 having a passionate conversation about direct debit. That's just in itself, that's a pretty funny topic. But Yeah, it just goes to show how backward things are still in certain things.
Yeah, where the opportunity is.
And actually just solving that, as you're saying, you're listing out so many benefits. And in the UK, we're spoiled for choice. It's like,
yes,
it's in there. It's done for you. But here, I remember when I was signing my checks, I still get really nervous. I have the sheet on the right. Does everyone do this? Do you practice your signatures? Is that just me? I practice my signature.
Writer's cramp after 36 checks for a car.
Yeah. And I remember doing this first time, and I got a call from the agent within a few days of him trying to bank the checks. And he said, yeah, it got rejected. And I was... My heart sank. I literally thought, oh no, can't move in. Yeah, prison time. I can't move into this rental. And I said, could I just transfer it? He said, yeah, that's fine. I was like, why couldn't I just do that in the first place?
Yeah.
But the direct debit system that you're implementing would massively benefit.
Look, we still have to look at why the system existed. Why didn't it change? And I will give you my analysis, which I did back in 2014, 15, when I started building the system.
Mm.
When a business or a landlord does not have a option to move, a strong sort of option, then they would just stick to what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why they were using checks, trust me, they were not using that check because they didn't like your bank transfer. They were not using it for the payment. They still accepted your bank transfer, right? But that bounced memo which he had, that gave him a lot of upper hand on you. If you wouldn't have did that transfer, it would have been a prison time for you, or definitely not the check. So the check is not payment instrument, it is a security instrument for these people. And that's why the security element was always present, and it was used as a security instrument.
Mm.
Now, if you want to replace that system, old ancient system, you need to give them something which is, if not equivalent, something which is basically does the same job as the check does. And the only system which can do this is direct debit, not Stripe, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So direct debit was only available through banks. So now they've gone to a bank. The A bank has one weird system where they have to sign it with the pen, print it, fill out the details, and then it's so bad system. It has so many Excel sheets which for you to fill in. Bank B is totally different. That has a different kind of system. So we do know 80 or 90 big companies did try since 2012 to this date. They did try and failed. So if there was no alternative, you should not have an expectation from the landlords or the companies to move.
True.
Now we hope with this, we have now given them a alternative to do, and this is why Keeper's announcement, there is a Zenda announcement coming up soon. And probably by the time this podcast will go, their PR would already be in the news. So Zenda has 140 schools. They're the largest school system provider.
Mm-hmm.
And we would make direct debit system available to all schools. And it makes sense to all the schools who are paying hundreds and thousands on these acquiring fees.
Yeah.
So imagine that, you know, on average, if let's say a school is paying 1.5 million to the acquiring fee, and suddenly they have to pay 100,000 or less than 100,000, they now have this extra money to, you know, hire some more teachers or sign more.
Or reduce fees, Abina.
Or reduce fees.
And it saves me 5 minutes from entering a 20-character IBAN number.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. So there's benefits all around. As we close out the interview, one of my favorite questions that I ask in this podcast is, how are you growing? What are you doing to acquire customers today?
At the moment, we are focusing on having alliances with the likes of Zenda or the likes of Keepers.
Mm.
So instead of going to 150 schools individually, it's much better that we focus on our rails, which we have developed. Our technology is basically our focal point. If we would go too much into sales, then it would take away focus of our company to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose that focus. And we want to keep our focus on technology and take it to the Middle East. We already have a UK subsidiary, and we are taking this technology over to other countries. So that's where our focus is. Go finding the partners like Zenda, Keepers, and so on and so forth.
Building those relationships, as you mentioned, yes, right in the beginning, correct, is one of your key lessons.
Yes. Going to individual customers is, yes, it can be done when we are happy, but it drains out a lot of organizational energy. Yes. And as long if you are a big GRE, then of course we will all go en masse to you. And if you have 50,000 plus customers, then we would definitely, the whole company would come to you.
Yeah.
But if you are a small gym, a small school, then it probably is better that it comes through a partner you already are working with.
Mm-hmm.
And direct debit just becomes an additional sort of your feature, and it reduces your cost, which is their aim, and helps the parent to pay monthly.
Yeah. So how can people reach out to you if they have an idea or a question? What's the best way to reach you?
All our contact details, Katie, are on directdebit.ae. You just put direct debit.
Strong
UAE.
Domain name.
Oh, yes. You put direct debit UAE on in Google, yeah, and you would see our offices in Concord Tower in Dubai Media City.
Mm-hmm.
And all our details are on directdebit.ae.
Brilliant. Well, wishing you all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Please indeed. Keep us posted and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love the story. Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It. Thank
so
you. Much.